afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Workforce and Business Development Policy and Finance Committee. I call this meeting to order. This remote hearing is being conducted pursuant to Rule 10.01. This remote hearing can be viewed on the House webcast television. With that, I'll ask the House Committee Legislative Assistant, Mr. Badri, to now take the role.
Chair Noor.
Present.
Chair Noor, present. Vice Chair Zhang.
Present.
Vice Chair Zhang, present. Lead Hamilton.
Present.
Lead Hamilton, present. Baker. Baker. Dabney. Dabney. Frankie.
Frankie, present.
Frankie, present. Greenman.
Present.
Greenman, present. Haley.
Haley, present.
Haley, present. Jurgens.
Jurgens, present.
Jurgens, present. Cagle.
Present.
Cagle, present. Katiza Watun.
Present.
Katiza Watun, present. Olson.
Present.
Olson, present. Zhang. Zhang.
Present.
Zhang, present. Baker. Baker. Dabney. Dabney. Chair Noor, we have a quorum.
Members, there's a present. With that, Lead Hamilton, will you move the approval for the minutes?
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Lead Hamilton moves the approval for the minutes of April 4, 2022. Any discussion, members? Any discussion? See none. All those in favor of the approval of the minutes, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? See none. The minutes for April 4, 2022 are now approved. And I see Chair Dabney and Representative Baker present. And today, members, we have our omnibus bill that we've been working so hard to put together. And with that, I would like to transfer the chairmanship to Chair Zhang. Dejong.
Thank you, Chair Noor. Please move your bill and the A22-0405 delete everything authors amendment.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. I'd like to move House File 4355 to be referred to Ways and Means Committee.
Chair Noor, please explain to you. Go ahead.
I also I'd like to move the A22-0405, delete everything, author's amendment.
Mr. Chair, I believe we have a few amendments here to the amendment to consider. We'll start with the A2 amendment from Representative Baker. Representative Baker, please move and explain your amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to first explain the A22-040 amendment.
Sorry about that, Mr. Chair. Please explain your A22 amendment.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. This amendment establishes an economic moment for Minnesotans across the state, especially those who are underserved and underrepresented. Mr. Chair and members, this delete all amendment establishes the Spark Revolving Loan Program, which is $45 million appropriation. This is an opportunity for us to ignite economic growth and opportunities. This $45 million is a revolving loan. Out of that, $10 million is carved out for community businesses or community ownership programs. This community ownership programs, as defined in the bill, are cooperatives, employee-owned businesses that are at least owned by 51% by people of color and indigenous, low-income individuals, veterans, women, or people with disabilities. This is an opportunity for us to provide access to capital for so many people who do not have access to the traditional conventional loan system. The minimum allowable under this bill is $5,000 from the state, and the maximum allowed under this bill is $35,000 if you're doing a retail development, $600,000 loan if you're doing community business or community ownership model, $150,000 for all other loan program. That's the maximum allowable under this bill. Mr. Chair and members, this is an opportunity for us to allow individuals to have access to capital at zero or low interest, which is below the Wall Street Journal prime rate. I'm sure you all know the fluctuation that happens on the Wall Street Journal prime rates, which is a key indicator of the interest rate in many places. Also, Mr. Chair, in this SPAC revolving loan program, 10% of the loan's principal amount may be forgiven if the applicant follows through with hope. And also we provide 10% admin fees to make sure that this revolving loan can stay for a long time. This is a one-time significant investment, but will continue for generations to come. Mr. Chair and members, we also established small business relief grant program of $35 million. We've had from the hospitality industry, we've had from personal care industry, we have from the indoor businesses, how the pandemic impacted them. This bill creates a program whereby they can get a grant of up to $25,000. This is a model based on the other previous programs that we did, which were based on lottery system. And this, the department has done this multiple times, and I'm assured that this also goes smoothly and make sure that individuals who are left out, who are still struggling, especially those industries that I just mentioned, get some help. Mr. Chair and members, this program, this bill, the DE, establishes $25.23 million for the Tenant Community Capital Project grants. If you may recall, last year during the approval of the tax, this language was included in the tax bill. So this is an opportunity for us to look through what we can do to establish a strong program. One of the challenges we've seen was the meat processing facility in South St. Paul. So this bill makes sure that the resources go directly to the city of South St. Paul. More than 16 projects were funded from last year's $24 million. And quite frankly, more than $117 million a request came through. There's a significant need across the state in many communities. So this will help rejuvenate all those industries. And this is allowable for local government, for nonprofits, for entities that have been left out from any of the capital projects in our state. Mr. Chair and members, we also established Emerging Developer Fund Program. We all know that when it comes to development in real estate in many places, many communities are left out, particularly BIPOC communities, women, veterans, and individuals with disabilities. So this is more of a game changer, and allowing a revolving loan of up to $20 million to change how this industry really works. We are providing up to $50,000 for pre-development and up to $500,000 for bridge loan program so that individuals in the industry can provide support to those who need the most. And this is something we should be aspiring to do. Mr. Chair and members, we are also increasing the funding for the Main Street Revitalization Program by $20 million. As you recall, the challenges that we had during the civil unrest and also the pandemic, the way that the language was drafted, it was more inclusive. It provided support across the state for many projects which are ready to shovel, and we're waiting for the greatest outcome from this. This is supporting our main corridors, our main streets, our commercial corridors, so that they can rebuild, restore, and reimagine their neighborhoods. We all know the devastation that happened after the murder of George Floyd. The scars are still visible in our city and many places in our state. We want to make sure that we invest our resources in places where which will make a big difference. It also establishes Canadian Border Relief Program. As you recall, the closure of the border really harmed many businesses along that corridor. We provided a small grant for the Lake of the Woods for the Northwest angle. This expands that opportunity to allow many of those counties who have been impacted to receive funding of up to $7.5 million. The maximum grant amount under this proposal is $50,000, and businesses which have been impacted with a loss of 20% revenue. Mr. Chair and members, we also create additional funding for the redevelopment program. This is a great tool for demolition and also redevelopment for projects across the state. And the subscription to this program is greater than any other amount that we have seen. This will help us put resources directly. We never funded the redevelopment program, if you recall from our previous biennium appropriation. So we're putting $5 million and continue to fund in the tails. Mr. Chair and members, we also have the childcare grant program by making an additional $4 million, which will help us make sure that we have got a strong quality childcare system across the state of Minnesota. This is a one-time investment, but we also know the challenges that many mothers and individuals are facing to get back to the workforce. We also have Women of Color Economic Security, where we're investing up to $5 million by providing resources to the Center for Economic Inclusion, Coalition of Asian American Leaders, and Women's Foundation of Minnesota. Mr. Chair and members, we're also creating business technical assistance model. We know that many businesses have struggled. Providing a TA is the lifeline for many businesses who are ready to establish in the state of Minnesota. This is in partnership with many of the CDFIs and other nonprofits who provide this service. Minnesota has seen a 10% increase for individuals who are starting new businesses. This is the moment that we can invest more resources in technical assistance for people to understand the ways to accomplish success with starting a new business. Minnesota is one of the top states when it comes to business startups, whereby more than 55% will stay surviving after they have been established, I believe within 5 or 10 years. Mr. Chair and members, we've talked about Join Us Minnesota. It's a marketing campaign for the state of Minnesota by opening our doors to everyone who aspires to join us in the state of Minnesota. We're investing $1 million for this year and also investing $1 million continuous in the tails. Mr. Chair and members, when we move to the workforce development, we have seen the devastation and the challenges that we're facing. We're investing $20 million in workforce development fund to address the challenges that we're facing for the 16 workforce development boards across the state, which has got 50 career force centers across the state of Minnesota. And this is much needed at a time when we're facing significant workforce shortages. We're also including a $5 million for youth tech training, particularly for youth who have been left out and women and individuals who are not traditionally into the technology field. This will help us to create the next generation of technical training that are established to allow the youth to train in technology and to be able to serve the state of Minnesota. Mr. Chair and members, we're also investing $500,000 in Teen Teamworks that allows us to invest in young individuals who are in their teen to be able to work in industries within governmental institutions, particularly Minneapolis Park and Rec. And we know this will be a significant investment to address many other challenges that youth are facing out of school time. We are also establishing and supporting the New Americans program by providing $1 million to the VOLAGS, the International Institute, Minnesota Council of Churches, Arrive Ministries, and Catholic Charities in Winona Diocese. This will help us address the new change and investment for those who are coming to the state from Afghanistan, Ukraine, and other parts of the world. We appreciate the work that they do every single day by welcoming the new Americans to the state, and we want to support them so they can hit the ground immediately so that they can join the workforce. Some of the policy changes, Mr. Chair and members, are related to the mandated reports. We will have more time to look into that, but this is a request from the department so that we can vet the request of reports that exist. There's also a change to the pay for performance model, which is for under the Minnesota statute 116J.87.47. There's also a request to change the equity investment under the SSBCI, which is a federal program. Technically, this is a model that we have done 10 years ago, and it was renewed during the ARPA funds from the federal government. Finally, there's also a change request for the uniform report cards, which we have seen in the previous session, and that covers the policy sections of the DE amendment. Mr. Chair, that is the conclusion of the DE or delete all authors amendment.
Mr. Chair, you're muted.
Thank you, Chair Noor. We have an A2 amendment from Representative Baker. If you can make your motion and discuss your A2 amendment.
Mr. Chair, members.
Mr. Chair, did you want to first adopt the amendment to the...
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Let's go back to Representative Noor for maybe a motion.
I think my motion was to adopt A22-0405, Mr. Chair.
Yes, and I'm getting note here from staff that we don't make that motion yet until after the amendments to the amendment.
I can offer a little bit of clarity. So what we'll do is we've already moved the A22, delete everything, and then we'll go through the amendments to that amendment. We'll wrap up all of those, A2, 3, 4, and 5, and then we'll return to the A22, delete everything, and then we'll go back to the bill as amended.
Thank you so much, CA Somalanga. I think I jumped the gun a little bit trying to get things wrapped. Yes.
We
have an amendment to the amendment. Proceed, Mr. Chair. Sorry.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. Again, as we try to wrap up this very large workforce and jobs bill, we've been hearing a lot of things this year. We've really been focusing a lot on, communities of color. And one bill that particularly got my attention was the Kajug bill brought by folks. And again, Kajug has a presence in my community. And I know there was a big ask. It was $2 million. So I went back to the author, Representative Hassan, who's carrying the bill, and I went back to the stakeholders, and they absolutely could work with a smaller number. And so, members, I'd like to offer the A2 amendment. What it does is it brings back the training for Kajug to offer phlebotomy training for folks that want to get into this healthcare industry and certification for adults statewide. And again, with a smaller amount, they're not going to be able to have quite the outreach, but again, we've heard about, and again, our chair here really believes in supporting those communities, especially more in the IT side of things. This side of things with healthcare, I think, is another big part of an entry-level position where a lot of folks here could help us out. So I hope that by really looking at the numbers, and I know that there's many examples of areas where money is being specifically identified for, whether it's areas or industries in some cases, I want to just throw it out there as a final Hail Mary here to see if we can take it from that $2 million in the original bill. We brought it down to $500,000, and they can still do some good things with this training to offer this up as an amendment to your amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Noor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think Representative Baker, the request for the direct appropriation, I'm sure you recall, we have seen multi-million dollars request from many institutions across the state for direct funding, and none of the workforce meant to be direct funding. And quite frankly, I've had conversation with the executive director, Mr. Farr, There's also, if you look into the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, the phlebotomy is allowable program. Likewise, the dual training pipeline, which is available right now by April 12th, that also provides funding for similar projects. This is a partnership that we're looking for. But there's also the Minnesota Business Partnership, MJSP program, which has got funding. And I've been informed by the department, any groups that are interested in that partnership, dual training programs, they're open to that. We know that there are many requests that came through, and we're willing to look forward to see what we can do. But at this moment, I think I'll ask members to vote no on this amendment, and I look forward to supporting them through the connection with the department and other ways that we can do.
Further discussion on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the A2 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay.
No.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Up next is the A3 amendment. And I believe this is also another Representative Baker amendment. Representative Baker, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Again, I wanted to, this was sort of my goal this session, was to really work hard to try to bring the hospitality voice to our workforce committee. I felt like, again, the last couple of years have been as bumpy as any for any industry. I don't think I have to go on about that. We've all heard of the stories and the nightmares, but and the administration along with us has not been very helpful in this industry. But this could have been a very small way. This committee in the House stood alongside our industry to say, for just $275,000 one-time money, and then $25,000 ongoing, to do a partnership with the University of Minnesota, along with Explore Minnesota. We worked hard with the partnerships behind the scene. I think this could be a sort of a self-imposed free online training with the industry itself to really help start building a pipeline of training people that want to maybe stay in the industry as they kind of grow and as they develop. And they say, this is a lot of fun to be able to tell people how much fun they can have in the area that they live in. It was such a small ask. I was really encouraged, or really hoping, that with such a strong support during our committee hearings, that we would want to try to do something very, very small. Again, I don't come here asking for a lot of money very often, but when this kind of thing hits it, I want to take one more swing at the bat, Mr. Chair and members, and I hope that we can do something specifically for hospitality. I know there's other buckets here, and Chair Noor will explain those other opportunities are there. This is one that was a specific recognition of the industry, recognizing that we need to do something for them. And this is the one bill in this committee that it went to higher ed. It could have stayed in higher ed, but I wanted to bring it back here. I thought I would have had more influence. Well, I guess that didn't work out so good, but I am hoping that with just the stories that we've heard, and maybe today's conversation, my friend and Mr. Chair might just take this one today too. So I will just offer that up, Mr. Chair and members. And I do hope that this online training, free across the whole state of Minnesota, might be seen as a very friendly amendment. We'll make it work, and I'll stand for questions, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Chair Noor.
Thank you so much, Representative Beck. As you noted, we have been very supportive of the hospitality industry, including the changes that we made to the relief program that we have right now. It's more intended to provide more direct support. And likewise, I had conversation with the higher ed. That was one of the reasons that this bill was sent to the higher ed. We're still having that conversation. Technically, this is a funding that goes to the University of Minnesota. We don't prescribe much of what should happen with the resources when we fund the University of Minnesota, and it should be coming from the higher ed budget. So I've had that conversation. It's an ongoing conversation. But today I would like to ask the committee to vote no on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Frankie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair Noor, for your comments. Thank you, Representative Baker, for this amendment. I guess I look at this a little different, and I will be supporting this amendment. this small appropriation will go directly into empowering employees. I appreciate the programs that have been out there to help the small businesses in the hospitality industry, but this program puts that ability right into the employee's hand to become more successful. It takes out a lot of the middleman. It does not put the appropriation or the earnest onto a separate nonprofit. It gives the power straight to the employee. And that's what I really appreciate about this program, is that self-empowerment that this program would offer to an entire industry statewide. So I hope we can get your support. Thank you.
Further discussions on the eighth amendment.
And Mr. Chair, I'll just make a final comment, Mr. Chair, in case there's nobody else. But again, I appreciate the comments from Chair Knorr. I do hope, and there's no reason for me not to trust our chair on this, that he will work with us on this in the higher ed committee. If there's still a chance that this could be moving there, I'm very grateful for those conversations, and I look forward to that too. I appreciate the opportunity to have this, this voice vote on this today as well, but I will work with anybody who wants to continue this conversation about this bill. So thank you again to all.
Seeing no further discussions, all those in favor of adopting the A3 amendment, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The amendment is not adopted. Next is the A4 amendment from Lead Hamilton. Lead Hamilton, please move and explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the A4 amendment. And Mr. Chairman, to the amendment, this was the proposal that was brought forward last week. You heard from the mayors of southwestern Minnesota. And here was a group of mayors that identified a problem, and they brought forth a solution that is working. And we know it's working because there are similar programs in both South Dakota and Iowa. And the mayors were able to give real life examples of students, children that grew up in their communities. And after graduation, they actually went on for additional education, either in South Dakota or down in Iowa, studied the trades, and then found a job in those neighboring states. And after 3 years, their tuition was forgiven. And so again, the mayors came forth with a real life solution. And one of the things that many may not realize is that the district that I represent is extremely diverse. You heard from Mayor Cooley from the city of Worthington. If you would tour the school down in Worthington, you would see that over 80% of the students are students of color. If you drive up Highway 60 and go to the community of Wyndham, for instance, and tour kindergarten, over 51% of the students are students of color. We are very diverse. And, you know, the district down there, we do have jobs, even though we don't have a population like you may have in Minneapolis and St. Paul and other areas. But we do have good paying jobs in our area. The problem is our students, because of these programs that are offered in South Dakota and Iowa, our children, our students, once they graduate, are going to these states, are taking the courses and subsequently getting a job there and staying there. You know, Mr. Chairman, we have been talking about, you and I, about the direct appropriations. You said it again today out of the workforce development account. Now, the way I drafted this bill, I didn't want to take money. I know I couldn't take it from the general fund. I had to stay within the parameters of this bill. And I didn't want to go after other projects, the money that we're funding other projects in this bill, because I know the legislators that brought those forward are equally as passionate for their projects as I am for this one. And that's why I drafted this, or had, with the help of staff, had this drafted to secure the monies from the workforce development account. And Mr. Chairman, you've been very clear. You and I haven't talked about this. You had said that you're being firm about not doing direct appropriations from the workforce development. I'm going to respect that, Mr. Chairman. And I am, before I withdraw this amendment, what I would ask is the mayors are also working with the other body, and they're very passionate about this program. So, Mr. Chairman, when you're in the conference committee, whoever will be there, and if or when this language comes before you again, I would ask that you would be able to support it at that time. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw this amendment, and I thank you for your time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton, we withdraw the amendment. Any discussion? All right, on to the next amendment, the A5. Our final amendment to the A22-0405 amendment is from Chair Nora. Chair Nora, please move your amendment and explain the A5 offers amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The A5 amendment makes many adjustments to the bill, to the DE. On line 1.3 to 1.6 and 1.11 and 1.12 makes an adjustment into the total account and by adding appropriation to the Teen Teamworks, and also moving the New Americans and Targeted Community Capital Project grant from the business to the Community Development Subdivision to the Employment and Training Program Subdivision. Line 1.7 makes the Main Street Economic Revitalization Program appropriation available for additional 2 years. Line 1.8 to 1.9 direct the SPAC small business appropriation to be deposited in the program account in the Special Revenue Fund. Line 1.10 to 1.13 corrects program citations. Line 1.14 and 1.15 renames the Pandemic Relief Grant Program, the Small Business Recovery Grant Program, and keeps the funds available until the end of fiscal year 24. Line 1.16 and 2.19 again adjust the total due to moving appropriation between subdivision and increases appropriation to Teen Teamworks. Line 2.10 to 2.13 corrects a citation for the redevelopment and demolition program, keeps funds available until spent, and allows development authorities in low-income areas to use state funds for 100% of the cost of their project in fiscal year 23. 2.14 to 2.15, as requested by the departments, adds clarification that records for workforce programs be retained in compliance with state records retention requirement. Line 2.16 to 8.15 makes changes to the Main Street Economic Revitalization Program as requested by LISC to retroactively create option to provide capitalized loan in addition to leverage grants and guaranteed loans. The changes from the former section 5 and 6 are incorporated in this new revised section. 8.16 to 8.24 makes changes to the SPAC Small Business Loan Program as requested by the department, and defines the immigrant, and changes 50 to 50 Greater Minnesota Split Loan Program to proportional to share with the state's population, proportional to the state's population. Allows DEEP to retain $500,000 for admin expenses of the program and for fiscal year 23. 8.25 to 12.9 rewrites Emerging Entrepreneur Fund Program. And Mr. Chair, 12.10 increases deed administrative percentage for the Canadian Border Counties Economic Relief Program from 1% to 3%. 12.11 to 12.25 makes changes to the Pandemic Relief Grant Program, renaming it to the Small Business Recovery Grant Program, broadening the scope beyond pandemic to other economic challenges of the last few years, adding to the list industries that qualify and keeping the program active for additional year as recommended by the department. 12.26 to 13.8 adds a new section that exempts grants under Minnesota Investment Fund, Job Creation Fund, and also Border-to-Border Broadband Program from the usual grant administration statutes to allow guarantee to incur certain expenses up to 90 days prior to the encumbrance being established in the accounting system. So this is just a small allowance that we're making to make sure that projects can proceed within that 90 days period. Mr. Chair, that is the A5 amendment.
Further discussion on the A5 offers amendment. Representative Hamilton, Lead Hamilton.
Just one clarification. A comment was made proportional to population. I'm a rural member, a deep rural member, who we don't have the population. Mr. Chairman, could you just explain how that's going to work a little more?
Chair Noor.
Thank you, Lib Hamilton. This is more based on the population size. I know we have done some few work when it comes to proportionality of how we fund projects. I would also like the department to provide more clarity so that they can help us when it comes for us to defining what is proportionality. Mr. Chair, I see, I think Deputy Commissioner McKinnon, if he has got any insights into how we can do a good job of making sure that every section of our state is taken care of.
Deputy McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The change there on the proportionate piece is pretty consistent with how we've dispersed other programs across the state based on population. And we think that that would be helpful to ensure that all parts of the state receive some kind of equal share, and particularly relative to metro versus versus rural.
Thank you, Deputy McKinnon. Further discussions?
Mr. Chairman, just another clarification. That was a little vague. And so to the Deputy Commissioner, can you help us out? Because like I said, I represent a deep rural area. And the district that I serve is all are portions of four counties. It's very easy for me to leave a home and drive over 100 miles just to do a constituent service type thing. And so again, if this is decided upon proportional to population, right away as a deep rural member who doesn't have the population, what I see or read into that is we're not going to get any money. So once again, just help me understand that a little bit better, if you could.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Chair Norton.
I think I hear you, Lead Hamilton. I think we've done a lot of programs, including the relief, the small business recovery program. We're saying 50-50, providing that. We're also doing the childcare at a higher rate than any other place. Most of the funding goes to Greater Minnesota. We are more intentional when it comes to most of those programs. For the SPAC program, Lead Hamilton, I think this was only one piece of many programs. What we're saying is they should be more proportional. As the proportion that I can think of, it's mostly 60-40, particularly when it comes to Greater Minnesota compared to the state. So I believe that if there's a small town that needs help, they will get the help that they need. If this is not exclusion, this is more about making sure that there's ample opportunity for every business, for every city in the state of Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just, and thank you, Chair Noor. I just want to say, don't forget about us. To the commissioners and the department, don't forget about us. Like I said, it's we don't have the population out there, but we do have a need. Thank you so much.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the A5 amendment from Chair Noor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. The amendment is adopted. So now we are
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I do have a small oral amendment to adjust some numbers. I've spoken to Lead Hamilton, and he has agreed for us to adopt or accept that oral amendment, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
And I also need, go ahead, Lead Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you know, to my team, Chair Noor and I did speak on this. Chair Noor can explain the amendment. Obviously, I simply ask for our support. This is more of a technical fix to address the details. Mr. Chairman.
Would you state the oral amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There was a little bit more expenditure in the tail, so I wanted to make sure we stay within a number that we can work with. So This oral amendment is on line 12.018, which deletes 3,996,000. And then we insert 3,496,000 and I'll ask for the help from the non-partisan staff to make sure we also clean up some of the other sections that are going to be impacted with the numbers that we're proposing to change.
Okay. All those in favor of the oral amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Oral amendment is adopted. And now we are back to the A22-0405, delete everything, author's amendment as amended. Any further discussion from members? Seeing no further.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. Is this the final discussion of the bill, Mr. Chair?
No, this is just a discussion of the amendment
okay.
to the bill.
Thank you.
Okay, see no further discussion. Chair Norton, final comments on the 822-0405, delete everything amendment as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's my motion. I ask for your support.
All those in favor of adopting the 822-0405, delete everything author's amendment as amended, please say aye.
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 All opposed say nay.
No.
The amendment is adopted, and now back to discussion of House File 4355 as amended. Chair North, any final comments on the bill?
Mr. Chair, let the members have the discussion, and then I will come to the closing remarks.
Representative Baker had a comment.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Again, we heard a lot of bills through the session. The one thing that I'm super disappointed in is that we still are here a few hours before our Easter Passover break, and we haven't passed unemployment insurance yet. I thought that was probably one of the most important things we could have done this year to get that out of the gate far in advance of this. I think we heard from our folks at Deed that 130,000 businesses are going to have to now be individually gone back to correct this. So maybe before I keep on that train, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Representative Knorr, Chairman Knorr, if you could maybe explain to the committee what is the status of this all-important recovery plan that we promised businesses we would do for them, and where are we at as we just start ready to go into break? Do you have some late breaking news that you can share with us so we can go back to our districts and try to help them understand where is the House DFL on this issue, Mr. Chair?
Chair Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Baker, I think this is an important issue. This important issue is being delayed by the Senate Republicans because this is something that the Speaker and leadership and I and many have put forward a proposal that we will take care of businesses when it comes to the UI. But we can't be choosing who we take care of. So we need to be more balanced. We need to be more fair. In fact, we're putting more resources into the bucket, meaning that we're proposing to fund the UI, but we're also going to take care of workers at the same time. That's where we are. And if we fail to do so, it's because of the other body or the Senate refused to agree with us to do the right thing for everyone, and no one should be left out.
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair, and to that, last time I checked, the Senate had passed a bill on unemployment insurance, and I know that those are discussions that are ongoing with leadership, but this committee has a role to play, and I think we need to make it just a loud voice. And I think this is something that we're getting the two mixed up, and I don't know why they have to be attached together like this. So disappointed. I wanted to support this bill. I hope we can get something going. But back to what we tell our business
Mr. Chair,
in the district.
Chair Norton.
I just wanted to remind the committee that this committee passed the UI bill. We passed it to the Ways and Means. And it takes the Senate and the House to agree in order for legislation to be adopted. So it's not what our way or the highway. It has to be a compromise. It has to be a way that we can all get together to make sure that we can do the right thing. We can't be accepting one group saying that you either do our way or nothing else will move forward. So that's where we are. It's not about investing only in the wealthy and those who have the most, but we also need to be looking at those who don't have the most. That's what we're doing in our investment, in our policies and appropriations as we go forward.
Well, you're right. We're spending another $200 million on a supplemental budget bill here, and then we don't even have targets out there. This just, it seems like we don't really have a good plan here. And I just, again, what we should have done is really fought hard as a community, as a group, as 134 members in the House to get that part of our promise delivered to our business owners, because there's a lot of very poor business owners right now that don't know how to pay the bills. So it isn't just this matter of rich versus poor. We are employers, we're job creators, and we are hurting and we need our help. So any chance we can, this committee needs to continue to fight for those people, for the employees that had gotten paid during the unemployment layoff and the extra benefits they got. We were there for them to do that. We were there for them to take it back. I want to support this bill, but I can't today. But Mr. Chair and members, let's really try to focus on this, because now Deed has a huge amount of work ahead of them. So I hope we have some good news coming very, very soon to get this passed off the House floor and out on the governor's desk. Thank you.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to speak in favor of this great bill. I hear Representative Baker's point, and I think we're doing all of that. We're talking about UI, we're talking about frontline workers, but here in this bill, this is a really good bill. And I have to give much kudos to Chair Knorr. It's one thing to talk about doing equity work across our communities. It's another thing to put it into a bill. This is really incredible. And when we talk about equity, I'm from Greater Minnesota. And so hearing about the ways we're helping every part of our state through the child care grants that are split 50-50, through the workforce development funds, the grant programs that are getting set up. I mean, this is good for businesses. This is good for building wealth amongst communities that don't often get to build wealth and have small businesses that are successful. I just think this is just one of those opportunities where we have this incredible bill that normally wouldn't be happening in a non-budget year, and to really invest in communities across our state that were hardest hit by the pandemic. And so I think we have such an opportunity to do, it's a yes and this bill is a really beautiful thing for my community, for Representative Hamilton's community, for Representative Zhang's community, and that's a pretty rare thing to have a bill that can really do that. And so just hats off to Chair Knorr for putting together a really excellent bill, and I look forward to supporting it.
Lead Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, going back to what Representative Baker was saying, we talked about passing the UI Trust Fund out of this committee, but the fact is, it's still stuck at the Ways and Means Committee. You know, we passed off the House floor a billion-dollar funding bill for frontline workers, but we have not taken up UI Trust Fund yet. It's still stuck in Ways and Means. And when I was talking about yesterday, talking about the budget, you know, we have over a $9 billion budget surplus. This bill is spending another $180 million on projects, many of them which I support. But the fact is, we still have not discussed the UI Trust Fund fix on the House floor. The Senate passed it on a bipartisan basis back in early February. And it's sitting there waiting for us to act, but we haven't in the House. They're waiting for us to act, and we haven't. We can't even get in the conference committee to be discussing the UI Trust Fund. Mr. Chairman, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to support this year, and I hope that the majority of the Minnesota House will take the UI Trust Fund seriously as far as fixing that and going into conference committee so we can get that done. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I will go to Representative Greenman, and then Representative Davi, who will wrap it up. Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will be brief because I wanted to echo a lot of what Representative Olson said. I think that, I just think this is a great bill, Chair Knorr. And one of the reasons is I think we have said from the beginning and the testimony we've heard this session has really been about ensuring that we're investing in and creating opportunities for recovery for the folks who have been hardest hit, particularly those small businesses and the small businesses in across the state, in BIPOC communities, low-income communities. And so just thinking about what Representative Olson said about how this really does touch the entire state, I particularly want to thank you for the increased funding to the Main Street Revitalization Act. We were together with some of those entrepreneurs, some of the businesses that are trying to rebuild a couple of weeks ago, and know how important this investment is to recovering and rebuilding. It's really an important mainstream program. So Main Street program, I should say. So just really appreciate that this is a bill that centers our values and geographic and economic and racial equity in our values. So thank you for the bill, and I look forward to voting yes.
Last comment, Chair Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will endeavor to be brief. Representative Greenman is a good role model for me because I too want to speak in favor of the bill. I spoke briefly at our last committee hearing about the potential power of this bill in closing the racial wealth gaps. We know that in Minnesota, those are yawning wide gaps. And it's my firm belief that so many of the challenges that we face as a state are related to that gap in wealth, that gap in home ownership, that gap in secure and stable employment, that gap in access to the sort of benefits in access to healthcare that many of us enjoy, but not all Minnesotans. And the efforts to close that wealth gap in this bill are outstanding. The efforts here to look into our immigrant communities, which are remarkably entrepreneurial, and provide them with the sort of capital and the sort of technical support that the traditional banking system often won't, is key to revitalizing our communities across the state, key to building wealth in those new American communities, and key to a Minnesota that allows everyone to thrive. I want to take just a moment, just being me, to particularly thank the chair for two youth-oriented provisions in the bill, the youth tech appropriation of $5 million. That's where the future is. And if we do it well, it's a big if in Minnesota, but if we do it well, we can prepare all of our young people to take positions in the technology industry. The chair is particularly well suited to do that work. But then also the Teamworks appropriation that the chair was good enough to increase today. Having children, young adults, positively engaged with relevant work that provides a paycheck is a great way to help them grow and develop. It's public safety, it's learning, it's all sorts of good things. And so I want to specifically thank the chair for that appropriation. Lastly, I just observed that frontline workers in Minnesota have been waiting for almost a year now for the Senate GOP to come to the table and follow through on the commitment they made, the commitment we made to make sure that those who served our state best through the pandemic, through the most challenging days of the pandemic, get even a small reward. It's well past time that the Senate GOP came to the table in a robust, sincere way to fulfill that promise and bring that proposal across the line. I hope that we can get there. Chair Doar, thank you for the bill. I'll be voting yes.
Chair Noor, closing statement and motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say thank you all to the members. This is something we collectively came together to do this work. It's a hard job that needs to that the bill reflects. Just wanted to say thank you to Travis Reese, who started us during the session. I want to thank Nick Stumulanga for picking up the pieces and running with us and being more patient with us as he gets his feet wet into the process. I want to thank Amy Zipko from the Republican Research, Dave Sullivan from the DFL Research. I want to thank Abdihamid Badri, who's the CLA for the committee. I also want to thank the nonpartisan staff, and Ms. Anna Shaleen, and also Ms. Ashley Eng. And I also want to thank the department, the deputy commissioners, the commissioner, the staff, and everyone else who has contributed to this bill. Mr. Chair and members, after more than 2 years of disruption from the COVID-19 pandemic and other challenges, many people still feel that they want to get back to normal. But let me tell you this, normal wasn't working for many people. This bill is intended to fix some of the injustice that we have in our system and to provide those opportunities. Now more than ever before, Mr. Chair and members, we need to support sustainable, equitable recovery and growth. We must build an inclusive recovery for Minnesotans working families. We must ensure that every Minnesotan has an opportunity to thrive in the months and the years to come. Mr. Chair and members, this bill is intended to spark economic growth well beyond what could be expected from unsustainable tax cuts. Members, this is our moment. Members, this is our opportunity. Let's use this opportunity to reimagine our communities, our economy, and ourselves to create sustainable, resilient, equitable future. We are facing growing workforce participation challenges as the number of job openings continue to outpace the number of workers available to fill them. Workers continue to struggle finding job openings that match their skill sets and that offer families sustaining wages and benefits and flexibility. While this trend existed before the emergency of COVID-19 pandemic, the pandemic's unprecedented disruption to employment has greatly accelerated these challenges. If workforce participation shortages continue, and many indicators suggest they will, it will threaten our economy's ability to meet consumers' demand. This is why we invest in workforce development across the state. We're investing in the 16 regions and other places. We're investing in technology so that we can close the gap being from 50 out of 50 in the states when it comes to computer science AP. Let's fix that challenge that we have faced for many years. We're investing our resources for reskilling by equipping workers to take a new role in their jobs, upskilling by equipping workers to stay current in their jobs, next skilling by equipping workers for the future jobs that don't exist yet. We know many jobs will be changing for the future, and this is a moment for us to do that investment. Again, members, let's face it, childcare is not a family issue. It is an economic issue. It affects how we work, when we work, and why we work. During the pandemic, many parents, especially mothers, left the labor force completely to take care of their kids as schools were closed and other opportunities proven to be more prohibitive. That's why we're investing to expand access to affordable childcare for many families. Let's also welcome newcomers to Minnesota to fully participate in the state civic and economic life by establishing the Office of New Americans, which is much needed today. Let's open our minds, our hearts, and our arms to new people who will join us in the state of 10,000 lakes with 10,000 opportunities to live, to learn, to love, to work, to play, and to stay. Members, we can do better, and we must do better than zero. And that's why I'm asking you to support this bill so that we, as a community, as a state, can all thrive. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and I ask for your support. I would like to renew my motion that House File 4355, if I'm correct, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
As amended to be re-referred to Ways and Means Committee.
Chairman renews his motion to refer to House File 4355 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Noor?
Aye.
Chair Zhang?
Aye.
Lee Hamilton?
No.
Baker?
No.
Daphne?
Daphne, aye.
Frankie?
No.
Greenman?
Aye.
Haley?
No.
Juergens?
No.
Cagle? Katiza Witun?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Zhang?
Aye.
Chair Zhang, we have 7 ayes and 5 nays.
On a vote of 7 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails. House 543, 55 as amended is on its way to a Ways and Means Committee. Nonpartisan staff is authorized to make any technical changes necessary to reflect the will of the committee. I will now turn over the gavel back to Chair Nora.
Thank you, Chair Zhang, and thank you, members. I think we've been meeting more than 40 times during the last 2 years in this session. So this may be our official meeting if we don't have other sessions, but please stay tuned. We may end up having some other sessions. I wanted to give the opportunity to Lead Hamilton to do any closing remarks. Lead Hamilton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just in case this is our last meeting, I want to thank, of course, staff. You did a wonderful job, Chair Neuer, recognizing everybody. I would like to also a very sincere thank you to all the staff, partisan and nonpartisan. Of course, everybody on the committee, it's been fun serving with you on this committee. Mr. Chair, you've been fantastic. You've been willing to work with us, taking phone calls and keeping us updated as well. We didn't always get what we wanted on this side. We understand that. But again, I want to thank you for, I'll thank you for your friendship, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for your leadership on this committee. And yeah, I guess it's been fun serving. And I'll also say this will be my last. I'm along with, I believe, Chair Daphne. I think this is our last go at things here. We're not running again. And so I just want to say thank you, everybody. It's been an honor serving with you.
Any other member wanted to say thank you to Lead Hamilton for hearing and understanding me and for your collaboration for us to get things done? Chair Daphne, are you speaking to the phone? I'm just kidding. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you, Chair Daphne, for your leadership, Lead Hamilton, for your leadership. We greatly appreciate your service to the state of Minnesota and the people of Minnesota. So thank you. As I noted, this may be our final regular standing meeting, but please stay tuned. We may end up having some other meetings if necessary. So pay attention to the notification from staff. And with that, no any other agenda items, we are now officially adjourned. Thank you so much.